Hello, I'm Stephanie Belcher.
And I'm Del Belcher, and welcome to
Two Peas in a Podcast,
a relationship advice show from two people who like each other very, very much.
You know, we didn't talk about what we were going to talk about for an intro.
You know what? That was our intro. Our intro is, I don't know what to talk about for our intro.
We could talk about the fuel or Johnny Boy getting a big boy job.
So, John, you met John a couple weeks back over the holidays, and he got his, what we're affectionately calling his big boy job. He is, he's using very large plastic
it is a
trucks.
It is a very good job. Big boy job somehow reduces it in a really quick way.
He's using very large plastic trucks to move big things of piles of sand. And
he's sleeping in a big boy bed now.
Yeah, it's a Corvette. he can put on his own pants, pull-ups now.
Good job.
Big boy pants. No, he had a real job. He got a job at a church back where in his hometown. So we're very proud of John. And then we're going to get real meta here, okay? You ready?
Yes.
So we've mentioned on the show, my friends Connor and James.
Yes.
James and Connor. And then...
And James and Carrie have been on the show. We should have... Connor and Kelsey.
Right. And then they've heard us talk about John. And then we told John that they heard about him. And then they met John and Connor said that that was crazy. And then I hung out with Connor yesterday and he talked about us talking about him meeting John with John on the radio. And it was kind of like this singularity event where everything just sort of like time flat circled and everything just stopped for a moment. And now we're talking about Connor, talking about John, talking about him, meeting him, talking about him at our house, talking about John.
What's that shape called that's the fourth dimension?
Oh, a cube?
The cube in a cube, the tetra... Blah, blah, blah,
or an Ouroboros. It's
no,
the snake eating
that's
its
not
own,
it.
Snake eating its own tail.
Yes.
That's basically what we are doing here.
Maybe. So John got a job at a church, and he's going to be working with the youths.
Mm-hmm. The youths. It'll be good. I think
oh,
good
but
for
today
it.
We went and visited the church, and they got a real nice setup. If you're over in the Brighton area.
They got coffee. They got cement floors. They got cool siding.
But it's called The Well. I thought it was a nice little church. Yeah. Well, it's not really little. It's big.
Shout out to The Well.
Good job, Well.
Good job, The Well. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then we can talk about Stephanie's least favorite restaurant on the planet.
I think that we're...
I was just fiddling with some tape, and you just ripped it. You were so angry about this. You just ripped it out of my hand.
He was fidgeting with something, and the sound of the fidgeting is driving me insane, so I threw it. So there's a restaurant.
Don't name it. Well, you kind of did. So
well,
just...
I'm going to come back to it. Like, we're going to go there every time.
Just name it. They're going to
It's called The Fuel. It's in Brighton. And I hate it so much. I ordered a taco salad. And Del got a bowl
Here's
of fruit.
The thing. Here's
and it was
the thing.
Like $50.
This place isn't just a taco salad bowl. This is not your grandmother's Applebee's. This is like a Ruby Tuesday or something. No. This is the future of food. It is all... There's no... gluten.
No oil.
And no...
Meat.
Meat?
There's no meat.
Sounds like vegetarian, all very good.
Locally sourced.
All the juices are $7. And maybe out in like the cool places of California and the East Coast, West Coast folks, maybe you're used to your $12 juices. But here in the Midwest, we like our $1 glass of OJ.
From the McDonald's drive-thru. Thank you very much.
From the McCafe. Thank you very much. And we are not used to this, but they press all of their own juices in the building next door. And so I'm assuming that if you're going to charge me $7 for a juice that you made with your, that you are squeezing all of the bananas with your bare hands, until all of the juice comes out. It's the only way you can charge $7. It's a very good juice. Their food is similar. It's this very, like, trendy yoga lady, like, upscale, hip kind of
you know what I did?
Place.
So I'm a logical person. And so whenever I get upset by something, I try to find some little bit of hypocrisy just to totally discredit everything. So even if someone has a Nobel Peace Prize, I will look for one flaw. Mm-hmm. So I did that with this place. Mm-hmm. There, everything is hand washed. It's meant to be eco-friendly.
Killed in self-defense.
Save the world. But then I went to the bathroom in there, and you'd think if they were saving the world, they'd have one of those hand blow dryers where they'd just be like, your hands are washed, call it a day. But they had paper towel.
Ah.
And I thought, hypocrites.
Hypocrite. Maybe it's not real paper. Maybe it's like tofu paper. The thing that I thought you were going to mention is that the fuel went to the well, then went to the fuel, and then there's a building next door to it called the Space. And in the back of the Space is where they make all their juices and wizardry stuff.
They make all their the juices.
But then they have like yoga classes, and the cool part about that is that you can, after yoga, come and get a healthy smoothie, or I had an acai bowl.
I think I'm just getting like jerk chills from all this talk.
So, but then it's like, okay, cool, yoga. But then yoga people started coming in barefoot. No, don't come into my restaurant with
We're kind of rambling a little, and mommy's got to eat dinner. So I'm going to say, I hated this place. It's expensive.
I love it.
And I'm probably going to come back to Brighton every time because I know I can eat there. And in spite of all of it, it does taste really pretty good.
Having celiac disease, I did see your wheels spinning trying to find the logic in all the cracks in the walls of the fuel. You were like, the sauce in this is just mayonnaise. Like, I'm pretty sure it's not just mayonnaise, but
I can eat everything on the menu, and that's the one of two places in this world where I've ever seen that, so I'm going to keep going back.
But you're going to hate it.
I'm not going to like it. I'm going to complain every step of the way, but I'm going to go back.
Well,
hopefully soon.
Oh, boy. Well.
Bring in $50 and give me those two juices.
Yes, it's true.
So, this is Two Peas in a Podcast.
We hate juice, but we love advice, and we are here to give you advice. Stephanie, what do we do at this show besides complain about the high price of taco salads?
Second part of our show is The Split, where we're going to take a relationship article torn from the headlines, and this week we have a topic hot off the presses. Not the juice presses. And then in the first part, we're going to take a question from our pod squad and talk about it.
It's good because the newspaper is hot pressed. These juices are cold pressed. No one knows what that means.
You need to wrap this up.
So for this part of the show, we're taking your questions and turning them into wisdom. And you can get us your question at contactpeapodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's contactpeapodcast@gmail.com. So we'll take all of your pea-related vegetable-related questions, advice questions, and juice questions. I think we'll take some juice questions maybe next week. But first question today, I feel like it is a relevant question. Here we go. I am a 20-something-year-old man who, like most, is plugged into social media. I check into Facebook most days to see what's up with family and to see how the world is working, etc. I'm really sad to say that all I'm seeing lately is a lot of really outlandish political memes and family infighting, people from all sides of the spectrum, relatives and related to each other, speaking in some very not nice ways that are harsh and pretty mean. Now, sure, some people might call this, air quotes, discourse, but people's feelings are starting to get hurt and people in my family are getting really sad. How can I help repair this brokenness that's starting to appear from my family from this social media infighting? How can I stop the madness? Now, right there, that's the million-dollar question.
Welcome to Facebook.
Welcome to the internet. Let me show you the way. Over here, we have a cat on a keyboard. And over here, we have your crazy relatives.
I think I told you today that there were a few articles that came out on some hot topics. Mm-hmm. And of course, I do what you shouldn't do, which is I click on the comments. And then a few people commented things, and I almost wanted to comment. And then I realized It's such a fruitless effort. So I typed out my thought and then deleted it and moved on.
Mm-hmm. That's the best thing. You write it out in like a document so you won't accidentally share it. And
for
then
sure.
You just then you throw it away. You crumple up your computer and throw it away, your whole computer. I feel like this is a multi-layered answer, which means that only parts of the layers, I think, are within your control. Because I think the biggest piece of this puzzle is people do not have online etiquette anymore or ever. And it's just people just don't. It's like this barrier, this keyboard screen barrier, just allows people to say whatever they want. What they're not understanding is that, like, it's still you. Like, it's your online persona, yes. But that's how, like, I interact with Stephanie during the work week more online than in person. In most, because, like, 8 hours a day we're away from each other at work. And then we come home. And then, you know, it's a couple hours at home. And then we go to sleep. So, like, a lot of your interaction with people is through this digital platform. And so whether you think it's real or not, like, you're really... Well, putting some bad energy into the universe.
Let's talk about that. What is your philosophy on social media? Do you think that social media is separate? It's its own separate thing. Facebook lives over here. We have rules and regulations, but that's Facebook. Or do you think Facebook is part of an integrated and a successful extension of society, where now it's all just a part of what we do?
I personally believe that Facebook and by extension the internet is all part of just life. It's not a separate thing. It's not a compartment. I have this, I do like workshops about this, and I always tell people that the two people that know more about you in order are your internet web browsing history and God. Like, like you are... what you are online, no matter what you think. And to see this venom be spewed so like easily, and I've seen it too, and it sounds like in this question asker's situation, it's very hurtful. Yes, don't be hurtful online. But yes, don't share stupid stuff that's not real. You don't deserve to be torn apart, but you also owe it to yourself and to your community like that to check out the facts, to check things out. So those are the things, though, that question asker that are not really in your control. So I don't know. Stephanie, what do you think?
I think the best function Facebook ever created was the unfollow button. And yes. So I have this little list of people that I would love to follow. I would love to see what they're posting because I would like to be a part of their lives. But like you... they post really crazy political stuff, and I don't need that energy in my life. So I have unfollowed a ton of people. And then once or twice a month, I check back in and see, oh, are they still posting these crazy things? And if they are, I don't need to follow them again. But every once in a while, someone's kind of gotten off the political bandwagon, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, great, now we can be friends again.
Mm. We're going back to that. So Twitter, I don't even mess with Twitter because I feel like it's the toilet of the internet. But I do spend a lot of time on Facebook, which is more like an outhouse than the actual toilet. And one cool thing that Facebook has is they have a sleep for 30 days button.
Oh, there we
go. So you can take that relative if they are bothering you. In particularly, you can put them in a nice blanket, tuck them in, caress their head, kiss them goodnight, and you do not have to see them on social media for 30 days. And maybe that does take away some of the community aspect. However, with all the amount of time that we spend on social media, pretend that time is in real life time. Like if you were spending that much time and having that much negativity with someone physically, really, in your own personal space, you would not be around them like that.
Yeah, that's
you would
true.
Talk differently. You would speak differently. You would not put up
with
that.
Most people would.
Most people would. You wouldn't put up with that. And the conversation would flow differently, and you could read emotion and sarcasm and things like that. So I think that there are, for you personally, you do need to start maybe removing yourself to just try to get a better grasp and maybe start picking off the low-hanging fruit of people you know are more prone to listen to, like how to not be an insane person on Facebook.
I agree. I think... what other people believe and want to do isn't really something that you're probably going to have a ton of impact over. So worrying about it and putting a lot of time on it is probably not something you need to do. But I think, like Del says, if there is someone who is close to you that you can influence and you feel like this is really damaging their life, I feel like having a good, honest, kind conversation about it is a good idea.
And people in your family generally probably do have some sort of respect for you. And you know the people that you have influence with and your relationship with them. And I would just start a conversation, and because you're not going to make anyone change by saying, do this, because clearly that works. Clearly sharing your opinion 100%, you know, balls out hardcore is the way to make things better. That's sarcasm. But you got to find the people that you can, you know, influence and start talking to them and finding those good pockets that are filled with positivity. But yeah, Stephanie said it earlier. Every unfollow is one step closer to a perfect social media.
Well, and I think in the bigger picture, I feel like the best thing to do, is it Gandhi? I don't remember the quote, but or who said it, but it's be the change you wish to see in the world.
Isn't that... Oh, no.
We can Google it.
Is that one lady?
Do you want to Google
the,
it quick?
India, you were right.
At any rate...
Mother Teresa!
Did you Google it?
No, I just know.
Okay.
I mean, you talk.
At any rate, I think if you want to surround yourself with people that are kind and not saying crazy things on Facebook, you should be the first one to do that. Don't say crazy things. Don't be mean about things. Don't make bad comments. And then in person, act that same way. And then over time, you'll probably attract more people like that.
I agree. And it sounds like no one knows who actually said that quote.
Oh.
People think it was Gandhi, but it wasn't Gandhi.
Interesting. Well, whoever said it, I agree.
Cool, Stephanie. Well, thank you for that input. And I think that we are on the steps of finding some really good solutions to making the internet better. So if you have any suggestions, sweet listeners, please send them in on how you deal with the trouble of the internet, and we'd love to talk about that in the comments below. So you can find us at facebook.com/groups/ppodcast, or if you see the episode up anywhere online, comment, like, subscribe, share, and let's talk about making the internet a better place. All right, Stephanie, I said place. You know what that means.
The split, where we take a relationship article torn from the headlines and talk about it.
Now, you said this was... headlines, torn from the headlines, has never been more true.
So did you know that Gillette is the best a man can get?
Yes.
Until
they made us week. All women, because women dart suck.
Who knew that an ad about not beating kids up would get people so mad? It's crazy.
But I want to so bad.
Kids don't like being bullied. So
clearly you can see what our opinions are on this topic.
It's just an ad. I mean, really, anyway, let's not get into marketing or we'll never get out of here. Mm-hmm. So in the headlines in the last few weeks is toxic masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, what article better to discuss than the article that started it all?
The article that started it all.
So everyone's talking about toxic masculinity. We got a show where we talk about research. Let's bring it up. Let's nip this in the bud.
I feel that toxic masculinity or that idea might have some bearing in some people's relationships. And that yes. also makes it relevant.
Well, there's a lot of people in the society called men.
There's women and... men?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and because this topic is so popular among so many people, I feel like understanding the roots of what everyone's fighting over is very important.
Sometimes it does help to, like, stop, take a step back, look at the broader picture, and get some ideas on what is actually being talked about.
Stop, collaborate, and listen. That's where it's
all
at. Stop,
drop, and roll. Stop in the name of love. Stop, hammer time.
So what happened is a few months ago, the American Psychological Association did a crazy thing And they came out with guidelines for psychological practice with boys and men.
Okay, boys to men.
Great and band. So you can Google this document. It's called the APA Guidelines for Psychological Practice with Boys and Men. It's 30-some pages. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get into it a little bit more, but in addition to releasing this 30-some page document, they also released an accompanying article. Mm-hmm. And the article was called APA Issues First Ever Guidelines for Practice with Men and Boys.
First ever?
First ever. They did guidelines for girls in the late 2000s, and now they came out with some for men.
All right.
And so first, I'm going to talk about the accompanying article, and then we're going to dive into the document that started the fight.
Okay.
So the APA is releasing guidelines to help psychologists work with men and boys.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the overall thesis is, and I quote, "Traditional masculinity, which is marked by stoicism, competitiveness, dominance, and aggression, is, on the whole, harmful. Men socialized in this way are less likely to engage in healthy behaviors."
So it's not just they're saying this. So this is based on research.
Oh, we're going to get into that. Okay. For sure.
So guys who are don't share their feelings are very aggressive and competitive. And what was the other one?
Competitive, dominant, aggressive. Oh, dominant.
They tend to not have healthy relationships.
That's kind of a generalization.
Okay.
However, the article does go on to say people that really, 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 really ascribe to this tend to be more likely to drink, smoke, eat poorly, and not get psychological help.
Okay. I feel like that's bad. I feel like that's when, what's the word when something is like good, but then it goes bad and is bad for you? Is that like,
is that a word?
Like, is it, there's an X in it. It's like, chemicals and bad things go in. Toxic?
Okay. I see. Sorry. I was not picking up what you were like.
I was trying to make a joke, but okay.
I'm sorry. That went right over me.
Okay.
So now I'm going to go back to the guidelines. So these guidelines are 30-some pages. One-third of these pages, 10 pages, are citations from different... from different research.
I never wrote a paper with nearly that many citations.
I barely wrote any papers that were 10 pages. I counted 10 pages had different citations. I estimated, I didn't count all of them, I counted a column and then kind of, I estimate there are over 400 academic, scientific, peer-reviewed journals cited in this document.
So all these science nerds are saying that the way I want to be is it might be a problem.
I'm here to tell you, we've been doing this show a year. We're on episode 90.
Almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years. Yeah, that's right. We've been doing this almost 2 years. This is the most citations I've ever seen in anything short of a textbook.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of research here. But let's get into it. There's a lot of good quotes here, too, that there's... they summarize them more beautifully than I could, so I'm going to start off with one of the quotes. The guidelines say, although boys and men, as a group, tend to hold privilege and power based on gender, they also demonstrate disproportionate rates of receiving harsh discipline, such as suspension or expulsion, academic challenges, dropping out of school, particularly among African American and Latino boys, mental health issues, so complicated suicide, physical health problems, such as cardiovascular problems, public health concerns, violence, substance abuse, incarceration, and mortality, and a wide variety of other quality of life issues, relational problems, and family well-being. Additionally, many men do not seek help when they need it, and many report distinctive barriers to receiving gender-sensitive psychological treatment.
And it's these sort of historical, quote, masculine traits that you mentioned earlier that are keeping this from getting better?
Yes.
Okay.
That's really oversimplified because the article goes on to say, let's not oversimplify it.
I definitely didn't say 400 citations worth of information in that sentence, but I'm trying to get close.
So the guidelines also go on to say that the purpose of this document, the development of guidelines for psychological practice with boys and men may help to attend to the barriers that lead to the aforementioned disparities.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What jerks.
How dare they?
Man, people are killing themselves, other people getting kicked out of school, and we just want to help. Ugh.
So, but that's the thing. They're saying, from if you're looking at men and women, males are getting kicked out of school more, going to jail more, having more heart attacks, getting into trouble more, all these different things, and those are stemming from these personality attributes.
That's a portion of it, correct? Okay. Or cultural attributes.
Okay, cultural attributes. So, and it's in disproportionate to women where these aren't.
Correct. Okay. As the men are more likely to have these issues.
Okay.
So then, just as a sidebar, but we're not going to dig into it, but if you want to look them up, the article also goes on to define, because it's important to define your terms. They give really interesting definitions for terms. They give a definition for what gender means, cisgender, transgender, gender bias, gender role strain, oppression, privilege, and then some other terms are in there. So okay. That's all in there. And then the last quote I have before we move on to what the actual guidelines they give are.
Okay.
I brought this quote out because it's really heartbreaking to me. So there we go. Despite men having greater socioeconomic advantage than women in every ethnic group, the age-adjusted death rate has been found to be at least 40% higher for men than women.
Wow.
Men are literally dying from this stuff.
Ooh, yeah. Yes. That's not good.
So that's the framework for the guidelines they came up with. Now, I'm going to go through and just list out the 10 guidelines from the American Psychological Association. So here are the 10 guidelines that the APA gives to people in this field in order to help men and boys.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, psychologists should strive to recognize that masculinities are constructed based on social, cultural, and contextual norms.
Okay. Okay.
I think that's fair.
That's very fair.
So understanding how masculinity is different.
It's different among, like, different cultures have different ideas, yeah. That kind of thing.
And understanding the context of it. I feel like the context within your own family could vary.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Number two, psychologists strive to recognize that boys and men integrate multiple aspects to their social identities across a lifespan.
Okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound too bad. I mean, I feel like that's fine.
Yeah, I agree. Number three, psychologists understand the impact of power, privilege, and sexism on the development.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You're saying things that aren't real.
I know. Development of boys and men and on their relationships with others.
Okay, this is where you're getting a little touchy, babe.
Oh, wait till we get to number seven.
Okay.
I think we'll see how we're feeling when we get to number seven.
Okay.
Because I did write down a lot more about that one.
Okay.
Number five, psychologists strive to encourage positive father involvement in healthy family relationships.
I think it's better when the father throws like wrenches at your kid and never talks to you.
I think that's great.
That's from what I've seen from a lot of comments recently. That's just better.
I think so. Yep.
Okay. Next.
Psychologists strive to support educational efforts that are responsive to the needs of boys and men.
Okay, that's fine. I'll let that one fly.
Okay. Are you ready for the one?
I hope this one blows my brains out.
Hashtag trigger warning. Okay. Hashtag snowflake. Psychologists strive to reduce the high rates of problems boys and men face and act out in their lives, such as aggression, violence, substance abuse, and suicide.
I thought you were going to say shaving with Gillette will make your penis fall off.
Well, maybe if you do it real wrong.
Really bad, it will. You're the worst shaver ever. If that happens.
What happened? I shaved.
I shaved very badly.
Well, they were adding blades on blades for like forever.
Right. Okay, so come again. That didn't even really sound that bad.
No.
That was it?
I think that was the one that hurt people the most.
When Gillette says, be the best man you can be, they're basically trying to say, hey, you're all dying a lot. Let's not do that.
I think they're trying to say, buy our razors, really. True. However, they're using that as their platform.
Yeah. So what's the problem?
Exactly.
I mean, I am a very manly man. One time, I chopped down a tree with a hatchet in Canada. It was very far north. I feel like that is very manly. So I'm a manly man.
So that's the one guideline I got a little more detail on. Do you want me to go through the other guidelines and then circle back to the detail, or hit this one hard?
Give me the top hits. Give me your favorites.
So number 7, this guideline, psychologists striving to reduce the high rates of problems boys and men, et cetera, et cetera. They go on to say that although the vast majority of males aren't violent, mm-hmm. fair enough, boys and men commit 90% of violent crimes in the United States.
Hmm.
9 in 10 violent crimes committed by men.
Well, because women are more sneaky and they poison more often. It's harder to track down a poisoner.
We're just smarter, let's be honest.
Well, yeah. We just get caught. Guys just get caught more?
And so most men aren't violent. However, men who experience violence or abuse, there's a lot of research on this, they experience significant barriers to finding help, sadly, because the domestic violence system has focused most resources on women.
Yes. So there is a direct line between all of this bad stuff and a few cultural traits like hyperaggression, dominance, etc. And so some people are saying, like, hey, here's the thing. Ding, ding. Maybe we should do something about it.
Yep.
And people are not having it.
Correct.
Now, you did mention women. Mm-hmm. Can they be toxic as well? Can't we? If we're going to talk about one, don't we have to talk about the other?
So the article goes on to say that psychologists should, number one, recognize that violence does hurt everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, disseminate information regarding the destructive aspects of rigid notions of masculinity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know. We're just waiting for some shoe to drop that these are crazy.
So where does it say that I need to cut off my penis? I feel like that's in here somewhere.
I did not read every single citation. There might have been a guide in there for that.
Okay, Stephanie. So where does that lead us to the toxic masculinity conversation? Oh.
3 more guidelines.
Okay, go.
Guideline 8. Psychologists strive to help boys and men engage in health-related behaviors.
That's not bad.
Guideline 10. Psychologists strive to build and promote gender-sensitive psychological services.
That sounds, not bad. Sounds okay.
And last one. Psychologists understand and strive to change institutional, cultural, and systematic problems that affect boys and men through advocacy, prevention, and education.
Because that sounds helpful.
Yeah.
That sounds good. So, science lady, tell me. What is going on? Because I don't know what's happening. I feel like my world around me is crumbling and I don't know what to do.
You know, I read the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure what people are upset about.
Okay.
Not really. I'm reading through those. Maybe I found the wrong article. Maybe I'm not even reading the correct thing.
Mm-hmm. I think you are, though. I have a feeling that because we're talking about toxic masculinity. And yes, okay, masculinity isn't toxic, but there's these four, count them, four. There are some very good masculine traits. Woodworking, learning how to shepherd a flock of sheep, sailing a boat. These are all very good masculine attributes. But the bad ones that can, they said, when they become extra, out of proportion and out of control, can be very hurtful. And it's not just you're a jerk guy. It's you're like killing yourself as like a public health thing. This is like a public health situation.
It is a public health issue.
And it's not like I just want to demean you and make you feel like a weenie. It's like, no, you're going to die because you're acting like a jerk all the time.
And there's not a lot of resources. I think the great part about some of these guidelines is guideline 10 is advocating for men having better resources to psychological treatment if they need it. A lot of men experience violence or abuse and they don't have as many resources.
So. This is wild. This whole conversation is insane because you go on Facebook, like our question asker earlier, and everybody is fighting about this topic specifically. And it's just, it's like, but there's, it's, we're not trying to call people out and tell them that they're like wrong or bad or whatever. You're going to die in a very bad way or go to jail or get in a car accident. And it can, you can stop that. It can be stopped.
What's concerning to me is men are dying from this and we'd rather get upset about some terms than find help for them.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather find help. So we read the article. I read the guidelines. I'm not seeing anything that sounds super terrible, like they're trying to tear down men. If anything, I think they're trying to build men up in healthy ways to create better communities.
Mm-hmm. It's like you're throwing someone a life raft and they're just like, I don't want this stupid raft.
It's pink. This is for Susan G. Komen.
And they throw it back. It's like, well, okay. That's really kind of a bummer. And I know, like, we didn't want to get into the marketing strategies of a Gillette. And, you know, like we've talked about, like Nike and other people who have kind of taken these social justice issues and kind of run with them. But like you're saying, it's yes, they want to sell razors for sure. But they've realized that we also, you know, our population of people, we don't want them to like die because we want them to buy razors. So it's capitalism.
Everybody wins.
Two birds with one stone. You're going to live longer. You're going to buy our razors more. And you are actually going to make the world a little bit better place. Like you can have a conscience as a company. And I think to be on a positive side of history going forward is good. But this is not a marketing podcast, so we won't get into that part of it. But I do think that's a discussion worth having somewhere, not now, but this toxic masculinity thing. I am a man and I feel that I am not a toxic man. And maybe there are parts of me that are, I don't think so. However, I'm what you'd call a nice guy, a nice boy. And I just remember for a lot of my life being made fun of, being called out, being called like derogatory words for like being, you know, like homosexual related, like derogatory terms, like sweared at in like my dorm at like Christian colleges.
Yeah, Dell was telling me he was playing his guitar and someone walked by and called him a derogatory term because he was playing his guitar.
Multiple times. And this was like high school, college, like after. And why? Because I'm like sensitive and artistic or something. And so I've experienced that. And it's just like, I was just like, what? What are you talking about? I just don't get it. And so like, this is something that I've not experienced like the direct, like violent aspect of this, but I've definitely experienced some of the anger and dominance and like fear of like people being like upset with me for just existing. In not being traditionally masculine in this sort of way. And it's been really weird and it just sucks. And it sucks. And to see everyone freaking out about it now, it's like most of the guys, you know, aren't super hyper aggressive, aren't like crazed to dominate. But when that does come into play, like it is not good to be someone that just beats people up when you don't get your way. Like that's not good. That's not healthy. And unfortunately, what we're seeing is that in these big pockets of males, it's a problem and it's causing scientifically significant issues in their lives and in our culture. And that's really sad. That's really sad. Ugh. Okay, soapbox ended. Back to you.
So about this toxic femininity. I'm just kidding. It's late.
Does that have to do with toxic shock?
I'm not. It's not even a thing. Anyway. Yes. Oh, that's okay. What it is.
All right. Bad tampons.
Anyway.
Stephanie, you are a hero. Thank you for tackling this. And as promised, I will now get you dinner.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's two peas in a podcast. If you have any comments about toxic masculinity, we'd love to hear them. So you can send them to us at contact@peapodcast@gmail.com or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/peapodcast. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. We've got over 90 episodes in our backlog. So whether you're on Apple Podcast or SoundCloud or even Spotify, you can check us out. Last week, we had a great episode with Courtney B. Ellis and her new book Uncluttered, which comes out February 1st, so make sure you check that out. And if you like the show, share it with your friends, and we'd love to hear you back next Tuesday. Stephanie, is there anything else?
We hope that after listening to this podcast, you learn that you can like each other very, very, very much.